have a few minutes for questions. What's your name?
I'm working butter.
Yeah.
Do you have to wear a kippah that has two separate compartments? My kippah only one piece that doesn't like pull part of them because it's only two pieces.
A kippah is a kippah. No difference. Mordechai is on your kippah, right?
Yes.
Okay. It's a beautiful kippah. No difference between one kippah and the other. Not even the color makes much difference. I say those that are sitting in Yeshiva Shalmala and they look from above, they're colorblind. All the kippahs look the same. Yeah.
My name is Jonah Braverman. I know the Rav stance on tefillahs is we shouldn't wear them because they're just going into more of an explanation.
I never wrote we shouldn't wear. I wrote we don't have to wear. There's no downside to tefillahs, but I don't wear tefillahs. Because to me, to do something, it's not enough that there is no downside. The question is, do we need to wear tefillahs or not? Then, in my opinion, we have not found the tefillahs. And I doubt we will find it till the end of Mashiach. So I made my opinion very clear on the Shalos Teshuvos Minchas Osher that I don't believe in what is considered present day tcheles. But anybody that wears tcheles and he asks me, should I stop? No reason to stop. There's no downside to it. What? No, it's nothing to do with Baal Tosef. Any mitzvah or chumrah that you perform based on chumrah, maybe this is what we should be doing, would never be considered about this.
If one was wearing tchelas, does it not have, what would be halacha
ma'aseh mishum tchelas? Because I don't believe we found the tchelas, I don't think there's a point for me to get into the details.
And also, regarding the size of the kezias nowadays, halacha ma'aseh would one be able to be some kind of minhag gedolei ador that was brought down in the Rav's tshuva to...
I do not recall that I strongly said what is the minhag of gedolei ador. The minhag is dafke to adhere either to the Chazon Ish or to Rav Chaim. No, what I did write is that b'shas adchak, one could rely that a kezias is actually a kezias, the size of a large olive. But I wrote that b'shas adchak. I myself, b'leila seder, I am makbid in the Shia of Chazon Ish. But I am strongly convinced that halacha lamaisa, a kezias is a kezias. But if you're quoting minhag, I don't think the minhag is that way. What I wrote is b'shas adchak. And many times I am asked by people that are elderly, that are ill, and in no way could they eat an entire matzah and being machmer the sita of Chazon Ish. And I say you could make a brocha even on a kezias bismaneinu. But that is b'shas adchak.
I was trying to do bracha achrona year round. Someone happens to have a smaller shear.
He could make a brocha achrona. But lechatchila, I would just suggest if you decided to eat cake, which maybe is a mistake in the first place because it's not very healthy, but if you decided to eat cake, then eat another piece. Okay? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you could make a brocha achrona, at least according to Reb Chaim Noah. But if you had a cookie and there's nothing left, or you just don't feel like eating another cookie, I think you could make a brocha achrona on a pure kezias. But because of my utmost respect for minhag and my total hisbatlus to the Chazon Ish, lechatchila I would be machmer according to the Chazon Ish. But my opinion on the halacha is a kezias is exactly what it is. It's a kezias.
When considering who to vote for in an election, whether it's in America or Eretz Yisrael, besides for obviously like halacha and Torah values, what are other like considerations somebody should look into when choosing?
I don't think I'm a very good political analyst. I don't know. Even if I would know, I would not share it with this forum, because I prefer teaching Torah and Halacha to the public and not my own personal political opinions. Gemara is the basis. Gemara is the most important source we have because everything stems from the Gemara. Whether it's halacha or it's Musa, because all the Rishonim in all different fields, whether it's the giants of Musa or the Jewish philosophers like the Rambam and the Kuzari, needless to say, the Poiski Halacha, everything is derived from Gemara. Gemara is the basis of Torah Shebaal Peh. And therefore, Gemara is the most important source that we have. But in practicality, when a person leaves the yeshiva and he works and he has some time in the day to dedicate to learning, not always what I suggest Gemara. My suggestion always is, La'olam yilmed adam b'mokam sheliv ha'chofetz. Learn what you enjoy. Learn what you like to learn. So there's a famous story about the Besor Saranto. The Besor Saranto was the founder of the Musa movement. And he traveled from town to town, from hamlet to hamlet, from city to city, preaching the importance of learning Musa. And in his opinion, you need to learn Musa every day. And a person once asked him, all I have is a half hour a day to learn. Wouldn't it be more important for me to learn the Gemara, to learn Halacha? Should I spend that half hour, precious half hour a day, to learn Musa? And Abisol responded by saying, yes, learn Musa that half hour. And if you learn Musa half hour every day, you will find that you have much more than a half hour a day to learn. So, if you will enjoy learning, you will find that you have more than a half hour to learn. But if the learning is going to be a burden on you and you don't enjoy it, then knowing human nature, you just won't learn. You will find a thousand reasons not to go to the Bismedish and not to learn. So I think in practicality, as we move forward in life, when you're working hard and you have a little time to learn, the most important thing would be learn what you most enjoy learning. Not necessarily the more.
So as we leave the yeshiva environment and we go into the working world, we like sometimes may find ourselves in a situation where if a woman coworker might like put out their hand to shake it, or like family members, aunts and uncles, like aunts, cousins, how do you go about that in the working world?
So number one, you always should be nice to people. So yesterday I spoke with a group, also a group of young American boys that are leaving yeshiva, going back to America. And one of them asked a question which is on our minds all the time. So leaving the yeshiva environment and you're going out to the big world, and sometimes you're going to find nice people, genuinely nice people. How do you cope with that, hashkafa-wise, philosophically, meeting some goyim and they seem to be nice people? And I said, they might very well be nice people. And a goy could be a nice and decent and fine human being. And I don't think we need to be troubled by that fact. The Mishnah says, each and every human being was created in Tzelem Elokim. That is what the majority of commentators explain in Perek Gimel. We stand apart. With what do we stand apart? Nikru bonem lamokoy, nitan lehem klei chemda. So what I said is, when you encounter a guy that is a nice person, the way to respond is, try to be even nicer, because you're a Jew. So try to be even nicer. Some time ago, I heard a beautiful story, which very much inspired me. So I know an individual in America. He's a bit of a crazy guy, but he is very much involved in Hatzolah. Very much. And he just bought a plane for Hatzolah. And this plane is designated only for Hatzolah, to fly patients for urgent procedures from one country to the other, from one city to the other. Sometimes we need to fly blood or organs. And when you met with officials of the authorities in America to get a license, the person told him, it's the first time in my life that anyone bought a plane just for charity purposes. There are many millionaires that have private planes, and sometimes they would give permission to use their plane for charity. But never have I met a person, an individual or an organization that would buy a plane for millions of dollars just for charity. And then he said, you know what? I'm not surprised that it's the Jews, he said. If anybody would do it, I'm not surprised that it's the Jews. They're the only ones that would do it. And that made me very proud. That made me very proud. So you're going to find some very nice people out there. And just try to be as nice and even nicer than they are, because you're Jewish. And not only because we want to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, because we really should be nicer than all the rest, because we are Kodesh Baruch Hu's chosen people. So, rule number one, be nice to people. Never be arrogant. Never be offensive. Number two, by pure halachic definition, there would be room for leniency not to give a hand to a woman. To give a hand to a woman. But it definitely would be midas chasidus to try not to. And in this realm of arayas and kedusha, Chazal and the poiskim are very machmir. So sometimes you will be in an unpleasant situation, but try to create an environment in your workplace in which people respect the fact that we respect our wives and we will not give a hand to a woman. And I think in this modern day and age, people could appreciate that. And it comes out of respect. So let me share with you a story. In my shul, there was a member that had a heart transplant. And he flew to South Africa to have a transplant, came back to Israel, and he lived 10 years after the transplant. He passed away some years ago. And when he arrived to South Africa, the surgeon was a woman. And before he was wheeled into the operating theater, she stretched out her hand, naturally expecting him to shake her hand, which he did not do. And she was taken aback, and she asked him, "You won't give me your hand?" And he said, "I'm giving you my heart. Isn't that far more than just giving you my hand?" She smiled, and she was very moved. And whenever I tell this story, I say, he wasn't such a genius. You know, that's an amazing spark of genius. He wasn't such a big chacham, but because he was a chosid, and he was so frum, HaKadosh Baruch Hu just gave him the right words, and that was pure siyata d'shmaya. So this is a story I tell many times. So by pure halachic definition, yes, you could give your hand to one, because in our modern day and age, that does not convey neither intimacy, nor it's just a gesture of respect. It's like saying hello, like saying good morning. So by pure halachic definition, you could shake the hand of a woman, but I do recommend in the context of trying to reach a higher level of Kedusha and Chassidus, create an environment in your space in which people know that you would not shake the hand of a woman that is not your wife. Regarding family members, yes, some of us have come a long way and we have family members that would hug you or kiss you. I don't think you need to fight them. Don't initiate. You know, where you stand today, this is something we refrain from. But if you have an aunt, especially if she's 85 years old and she wants to hug you, you don't have to push her away, chas v'shalom. One more question?
Yeah. Going home for the summer, some of us might end up in like a little bit less religious environments in our homes, so I'm wondering if the Rav has any etza regarding kibbutz avim.
This question brings us back to my previous response. Kibbutz avim is one of the most important mitzvahs. And especially for boys like you, whose parents aren't as firm as you are, I think this mitzvah also has an additional level of Kiddush Hashem and preventing Chilul Hashem. And I think the message we need to convey to our parents that are scared of us and sometimes justly so. The image they have of people that are dressed in black and white is not always a positive image. And sometimes the parents are afraid, what's happening to my son? Will he still be the nice, beautiful, friendly human being that I tried to bring him up to be? So I think it's extremely important to prove to your parents, yes, we are just as nice as we ever were, and maybe even nicer. So I think you need to be very, very diligent in your kibbutz. Try to avoid friction. Try to be forthcoming and respectful in all circumstances. But always remember that kibbutz avim does not include imposing on a child to violate any mitzvah. So you do not have to listen to your parents if they demand from you outrightly to violate any mitzvah. But if that is not the case, I think you need to be very, very careful in the midst of kibbutz avim on two different levels. One, because the actual importance of this mitzvah and the additional aspect of being mekadesh shemayim. So once again, my bruchah to all of you. Take the yeshiva along with you, and wherever you happen to be, you should always try to be kaveyat in the Torah, and you should always be mekadesh shemayim.
Yeah, sure.